You ready to figure out what's wrong with the Celtics?
Yeah, I think we got our two best men on the job, you and me, to figure out what the hell is going on. Because we can all admit something is going on.
Can we?
Yes.
Can we?
We can.
You and I can.
I don't know if everybody else can.
This is what I want to know.
The Toronto Raptors, Jones.
Yeah.
Going into the game, had 9 wins.
Mm.
It's not like they took a sabbatical and took several weeks off. They've been playing the whole season. Well, they played 41 games. They now have 10 wins.
And on New Year's Eve, they were super competitive with the Celtics. They gave them a real good game just 2 weeks ago.
No, that's not true. They lost by 54 points. obviously the Raptors were going to come out with some sort of pride and you know, give you a tougher game. We talked before we got off the show last night. The spread was like 14.5. So it wasn't 54.5. It was 14.5. But it was just, you know, once again, we're talking about a game where they don't shoot the 3-ball very well. They cleaned up the second half turnover. First half, they were pretty sloppy with the ball. And you're like, man, this game is pretty close. Toronto's kind of hanging around. And then just, you know, took it to them there in the fourth quarter. So they're 9-8 in their last 17 games. We had Turpin yesterday talking about the free throw or the three-point percentages, the attempts and all that stuff and where they're at over this time. But no, something's up. Even if you play a bad game, shouldn't you beat the Toronto Raptors?
Yeah.
And they lose to the Toronto Raptors going away at the end.
Fully healthy.
That was their whole squad. They have not been great when they have their full squad, which is bizarre.
So if you want to get in the trust tree with Keith and myself, yeah, we're willing to acknowledge,
come on,
something is off with the Celtics. Are you willing to go there? Are you willing to say, and that doesn't mean you're full-on panic mode, it doesn't mean they can't win Banner 19.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any of us are saying that. But they're not playing well. They haven't been playing well for a while. Something's up.
Something is up. Something stinks.
617-779-7937. You can jump into the trust tree. We'll talk Celtics here to start the show. We're going to get into some comments from Cam Neely about the Bruins trade deadline, acknowledging, ooh, that they could be buyers or they also could be sellers.
Interesting.
Which I don't...
They're right on that line.
I don't think the Bruins have done often.
They haven't been a seller in forever.
So that's a noteworthy comment from Cam Neely. We'll also get into divisional weekend, some matchups throughout the NFL, how they impact the Patriots, and the lack of Patriots news on an offensive coordinator. What does that tell us about the coordinator search? Again, 617-779-7937. That's your phone and text line. You can interact on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. Watch along, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. You can also chat on Twitch. Always a healthy conversation going on there. I'm sure they fully agree with the Celtics. And on YouTube, just watch along by subscribing to WEEI. Kristaps Porzingis, very critical of the Celtics, as you heard, mm-hmm, there. No spirit, no personality. I felt since literally game one against the Knicks, they have not defended well. I think a lot of it was masked by their hot shooting to start the year.
Yeah.
I haven't thought they've defended well all year long. I've been saying that since the first game. And I think it's starting to catch up with them. They got crushed on the boards last night. I think Toronto was plus 11. Rebounding. You mentioned it. They got a little less sloppy as the game went along with their ball handling.
Yeah.
But something's off with the team. It could be that they fell too in love with the three. Their offense is now out of sync because of it. It could be they just think they can go through the motions defensively and they're coasting at one end of the floor. It's hard to lock in at the other end of the floor. It could be, I don't know, differing personalities within a locker room. It could be that certain guys are looking out for themselves as opposed to the team. I think there's a lot of options on the table. What do you think is wrong with the Celtics? Because if we're taking the first step in acknowledging something's off, what do you think it is?
Yeah, I wonder if they just think it's going to be easier than it is, and maybe that speaks more to defensively. I'm fine talking about three-pointers all we want, but I think it might also be defensively because Toronto shot as a team 50% from the field. They actually, the Celtics, had the advantage on threes. If you look at the end of the game, they hit 5 more threes. It's not like Toronto shot lights out by any stretch. They had a good team percentage, but it was mostly twos, right? They were 11 of 34, Toronto was, from three. Celtics were 16 of 46. So actually a slightly better percentage and 15 more points, right, if you're doing the advantage there just from threes. So the Raptors got it in other ways, you know, real balanced scoring for them. And I just think maybe it is a little bit defensively. Like they're just kind of going through the motions there. Toronto's getting good shots, and it's almost as if they think, like, we're the Celtics. We're going to win this game. Like, we'll turn it on. And it's like, no, these teams are giving you their best shot every single night. And I think it's probably more defensively than even offensively. And there's plenty of issues there, too, right now.
So, to me, that's the most glaring thing. And to hear Porzingis come out after the game and say what he said, we don't have any spirit. You know, you're referencing effort. You're referencing, locking in at that end of the floor. And that, to me, is pretty glaring. And yeah. Mazzulla's called them out on that before. It's not the first time somebody within that team has called them out for a lack of effort and kind of floating at that end of the floor. So I definitely think that's an issue. And that speaks to some complacency or, not wanting to do all the hard work that goes into winning a championship. And this happens with championship teams. How many times do we have to tell you? There hasn't been a repeat champion in the last 6 years. And some of that, maybe not all of it, you can go through case by case and pick out why certain teams didn't defend. But some of it is you put in all that hard work to shut people up and become a champion for the first time. How much did Jokic have to hear about
not being a champion
and being an MVP, but he's not a winner until he won? And Tatum had to deal with those same things. So it's, I'm going to shut them up. I'm driven to shut them up. Now I've done it. What are they going to say now?
Mm-hmm.
And you just don't engage the same way. You don't lock in the same way. Regular season games are different than a playoff push. So maybe there's some element of that, too. It's like, just get me to the playoffs, and then I'll lock in. Then we'll flip the switch. We'll see. TBD mm-hmm. on this team. So I think defense is definitely an issue. I do wonder if there's something more to it, Keith. And it doesn't mean, they're full-on Bruins, Marchand v. Pastrnak.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that. Though I would never rule that out with a professional sports team. I know a lot of people rule that out.
Oh, they rule it out.
A lot of people say, no, they're all best friends because they say they're best friends. So I would never rule that out. But I'm not even implying anything like that within the Celtics locker room.
No.
Just, is Tatum all about his MVP candidacy? Is Pritchard all about being the sixth man? Is Porzingis, they won without him. They legit won without Porzingis last year.
Yeah.
Is that reintegration not as smooth? Is Horford pissed about coming off the bench? Like those sort of things where guys' individual situations are getting in the way. Derek White, Team USA, all-star push.
Stop right there for a
quick. Is some of that getting in the way? Is that weird?
Derek White's been terrible recently. Derek White is doing the math on this, I believe, is 3 of 28. From 3 in his last 4 games.
Yeah, it's 1 for 18 the last 3, I think.
Okay.
I think 3 for
28. And then, if you want to throw the Oklahoma City game, he was 2 for 11 in that game. So he can't buy a bucket. And in a game that was close for the majority of it, yesterday, we can pick and choose when you use plus minus. Derek White was minus 29.
Check Jalen's while you're in there.
Minus 23. Those guys were atrocious. Usually Derek White's kind of the opposite of that. And Derek White's doing everything you need a guy to do. And he has picked a bad time to go into like a real slump. He's played really poorly. It is strange, and I don't know what the answer is, but when you take these guys and you have their best players on the floor and it's not really working, like they're better when you take them out. You take out one guy, or if it's a night where Porzingis isn't playing or a night where one of the guards isn't playing, for some reason they're a little bit better. Makes no sense to me because I don't think this is the, When they had Kyrie and Gordon Hayward and Marcus Morris and Terry Rozier, and it was almost like there's too many bodies and they didn't fit. This group should fit. This group should work. We saw it last year, and Porzingis was kind of in and out of the lineup, but even when he was in, they were almost unbeatable. So like that's what I don't understand about it. Like they should be so much better when they have their full group, and yet it seems like they've had some of their worst games when they're all playing together.
So do you think it's something like that? Is it lingering bad blood from the Team USA snub for Jaylen Brown? I mean, I wouldn't rule out anything like that because something's off. We can all watch the team and say they're 7-7 over their last 14. What did you say? 9-8 over the last 17?
9-8 over 17.
So 500.
That's not what
over
they should be doing.
17 games or absolutely 500 over their last 14. What's wrong? And how do you explain it? It's not talent. It's not they're healthy.
Oh, I think I know what happened.
It's not the opponent. Toronto stinks.
Scotty Barnes is going to be all-star.
You don't think it was Scotty Barnes?
I mean,
he had a nice little game.
He was okay last night.
He was fine.
Barrett, Pirtle. Yep.
Pirtle's good. Pirtle didn't miss a shot.
No, Pirtle was.
Pirtle should have taken more shots.
Giving him work last night.
Pirtle's nice.
Is what he was doing.
Yeah.
So, look, it's not that Toronto's good. You've actually been playing kind of, the West Coast trip was challenging.
Yeah.
But you've been playing kind of trashy teams lately. You know,
the Raptors are 10-31.
You just got smoked by Toronto last night, which is a team you beat by 54.
See, if
a couple of weeks ago,
if they had won, say, 8 in a row, and then they lost to Toronto, because that's always my thing. Like, really good teams, you can look in the history of the NBA. Really good teams, even ones that end the year with like 12 losses or 15 losses, you can find a few where you're like, they lost to that team. Like, it's just the way it goes. Travel schedule, back to back, whatever it might be. And so, if they had lost to Toronto, say they had won 10 of their last 12, and then lost to Toronto. Okay, you're like, that's odd. It's a bad team, bad loss, move on to the next one.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're kind of alternating wins and losses as it is, they're having a hard time establishing any kind of momentum right now. And then you lose to the Toronto Raptors. Like, that's pretty rough. Like, that's a rough game because they have to have they have to be paying attention to this. Joe Mazzulla has kind of called them out a little bit about effort. And then you lose to a team that you are significantly more talented than. I don't really know what the excuse is.
So again, if you can bring yourself to acknowledge something's wrong, let us know what you think it is with the Celtics. 617-779-7937. It's not talent. It's not you're going against the best of the best of the league. And so what is it? Is it their style of play? Is it team chemistry? Is it guys looking out for themselves because they're not willing to sacrifice for the team, and now Tatum wants an MVP, or Pritchard wants to be sixth man, or Horford doesn't want to come off the bench, or Porzingis wants to prove the team needs him, or whatever. Derek White wants to be an all-star.
What's the biggest dynamic shift, you think? Is it the emergence of Peyton Pritchard from being a guy that got like a few, and he actually was one of the better players last night.
That's probably the biggest difference from a year ago, yeah.
I would think so, because everybody else was kind of the same. Tatum was first-team All-NBA. Brown was coming off an All-NBA season. Porzingis fit in pretty well, maybe even a little bit better than I thought in the games that he played. He had a good rapport with Jaylen Brown. Horford's kind of the same. Derek White, I know he's in this rough patch right now, kind of the same. Drew Holiday is maybe taking like a slight step backwards from what he was a year ago, but not to the point where you're like, oh, that's a major change. Hauser's kind of the same. It might be Pritchard. I'm not blaming him for why they've lost these games, but I'm just saying that's the one that sort of stands out as far as like minutes, shots, that kind of thing. But then again, it's hard to put any kind of blame on him because he's actually been more consistent. He's played pretty well.
Yeah, you just wonder how guys in the locker room are taking to it. He has played well, but you do wonder.
He's taking 3 more shots a game this year than he did last year.
Okay.
He actually took more shots than I thought last year.
So,
but still.
When it comes to this team, are you even willing to acknowledge there's an issue? Not everybody is. A lot of people have their head in the sand. They've been bad now for a long period of time.
Well, now it'd be like, what would it take? Right? Yeah. Nobody, you and I aren't saying like, man, when they play the Knicks in the playoffs, they're going to lose. Like, I'm not saying that. But I thought this.
What about when they play the Cavs in the playoffs?
Well, they're porked. No, they're not. I just think
you're the Cavs guy.
I do like the Cavs a lot. No, that would be a good matchup. I thought there'd be less bumps along the way. I didn't think they were going to go undefeated. I didn't think they were going to win 70 games. I thought they were going to win in the 60s.
Me
I
too.
For sure thought they were going to win in the 60s.
I already saw texts like this. 617-779-7937. Well, you guys thought they'd be better than a year ago, and you thought they'd win a bunch of games and go undefeated. And
well, not undefeated, but like I did think they were going to have a really good record. Ooh. I thought they could chase the team record.
I don't remember taking many phone calls going, they're not going to repeat. I don't remember many phone calls saying they're going to be worse. I don't remember a lot of calls like that, and I think we largely agreed. They should be a better team. They should at least be on par with what they were a year ago, and they're not. And when we say they're bad by their standard. They're bad by a championship standard. That's all we're talking about. And I'm with you, Keith.
They're on pace for 57 wins, which is not a bad year by any stretch, but it's way less than I thought they were going
to
win.
They're closer to the 3 seed than they are the top seed in the East. Terp told me before the show, bet online, think of their odds what you will.
Actually closer to the 4 seed than the 1 seed.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bet Online has moved the Thunder ahead
five
of the Celtics.
Seed, actually.
Closer to the 5 seed
so
than the 1 seed.
So they are 6.5 behind Cleveland, and then Orlando, who they play tomorrow, is 6 behind them, and they're the 5th seed.
Okay. They're closer to Orlando than Cleveland. How about that?
There you go.
So Bet Online has moved the Thunder ahead of the Celtics
for the title?
Championship favorites. Mm-hmm. Yes. So they're not playing well.
No.
I would still pick the Celtics, I think, against all those teams in the East for sure. Come talk to me about the West when we get there. But if they keep playing like this and they don't turn it around, I'm not going to be picking them come April, May, June against some of these teams that they're playing 500 for a couple of months.
Is Terp putting his own tweets up on Twitch
That's
now?
That's what it appears, yes. You want to read the numbers?
Yeah, I do. So is that, for those not watching on Twitch or YouTube, the Celtics starting 5 after last night. Can you put that back up?
Yeah, Terp, we're going to need
that. No, I wasn't making fun
Terp,
of you.
I
kind of was.
Terp, I don't have all your tweets memorized. Yeah.
10 games, 5-5 with the starters. 147 minutes. Is that a minus 40?
Correct.
Most they've been outscored by an opponent is plus three. Says 28% from three with 36 turnovers.
Okay, nice team.
Wow.
Nice team.
And again, how are they worse with all their best players? I guess that's really the biggest question,
cause,
right?
Because it goes beyond talent. Yeah. And it's not just, oh, they got to figure out how to play together. And it's not just, oh, you know, it's just the January doldrums.
Does this start to go on to Missoula? At what, or has it already? Or at what point will it?
Well, like, we're going to play some Missoula audio coming up that I find interesting because it feels like he thinks he's losing the room a little bit. So you can jump in on this, 617-779-7937. Can I just update something on Bill Belichick that just came out?
Of course you can.
Jonathan Jones, not the Patriots corner.
The player?
Jonathan? No, he would really
the fast
know.
Player? Jonathan, oh, yeah, there's another Jonathan Jones.
Jonathan Jones works for CBS Sports.
Okay.
It's just
is he related to you in any way?
This just came out. I don't believe so. I haven't done the...
That's fine.
The full...
The Ancestry.com.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Genealogy? What do you call that?
That's it.
Yeah, is that right?
Family tree.
Yeah, I haven't done that.
Okay.
Bill Belichick's North Carolina contract is not signed yet.
Excuse me?
Opening up consequential questions about his $10 million buyout. Belichick has a term sheet.
Hold on.
But whether breaking that would be difficult is a legal gray area. Yes,
he hasn't signed his contract
yet? Has not signed his contract yet. You want me to read you the full story? That's just the headline.
No, I mean, Ever since
Bill Belichick agreed to become the next head coach, questions regarding whether he'd return to the NFL have surrounded him. Many have pointed to his buyout clause, $10 million if he terminates his employment with the school before June 1st.
Yeah.
Only $1 million after that date. Would Belichick write the check? Blah, blah, blah. Sources tell CBS and UNC confirmed this week there's no fully executed and signed contract between Belichick and UNC. And industry sources say that could lead to a legal gray area about how much, if any, of a buyout there would be if Belichick left for the pros.
What on earth?
What a dirtbag.
What on earth? That hasn't happened yet, Jones. You can't kill the man for something that hasn't happened yet. That would be the ultimate
move. He hasn't signed his contract yet. I'd kill him for that.
But he's not coaching them yet.
Dirtbag move.
Well, I'm trying to think of that would be like basically what? The Reggie Wayne Patriots jersey. I'm trying to think of like a guy that was on a team but then like wasn't on a team.
Yeah.
No, that's different. But then like it happens in the NBA where a guy gets traded, just sits out, like, well, I won't go there. It's like a Keith Bogan.
I was literally just going to reference Keith Bogan.
Celtics jersey. Yeah. Man. Well, the longer the Dallas Cowboys job is open and the longer Bill Belichick doesn't put pen to paper on his North Carolina contract, I think it's pretty easy to connect those dots.
I mean, I don't think the NFL is calling. I'll repeat myself on this. I don't think the NFL is calling Bill, but he is leaving every avenue open to go back, which just gets sadder by the day.
Raiders, Cowboys, right? I don't know about any of the other teams. Raiders, Cowboys. Yeah. Well, nobody else has hired a coach.
No.
It's just the Pats.
They're all vacant.
They're very quick to do so.
I mean, look, no one's calling Bill, but Bill is leaving the door very much ajar. Cheap
How
buyout.
Does North Carolina let him not sign the contract? This was weeks ago.
I have no idea.
They can't get down there to North Carolina? He was in North Carolina.
He's recruiting too hard.
He did the press conference. They couldn't slide that over and be like, by the way, Bill, you're Herbie Hancock on this? He's like, nope.
That's unbelievable. I mean, it's actually very believable with him. And again, it just gets a little sadder by the day with Bill, how badly he wants to go back to the NFL, and the NFL won't give him a sniff.
Mm-hmm.
His buyout is nothing. He hasn't signed his contract. He's barely hired any staff, although they did hire a couple yesterday. He hired a new special teams coordinator.
Yeah, he's I didn't come here to leave.
No, you
didn't
sure
really come here officially.
I mean, you're stuck there, I think.
Yeah.
That's where you're going to finish your coaching career.
Wow.
Bill Belichick hasn't signed his contract with North Carolina. That's just coming out from CBS Sports. We'll add it to the discussion. You can jump in on that, 617-779-7937, along with what's wrong with the Celtics. Are you even willing to acknowledge there's something that's off about the team? Can you get in the trust tree and bring yourself to say it? Or you're burying your head in the sand, nothing to see here with this team. We'll get to the Bruins later on this hour. We have thoughts on the Patriots, the divisional weekend. You know, I forgot to mention.
What'd you forget?
We're also going to put the Red Sox on the clock.
Oh, yes. We got plans.
We have plans.
We're going to finish the offseason.
Finish up, because it feels very unfinished.
They're taking their sweet time, so we'll do it in a minute.
We're gonna give ourselves each 60 seconds to fix the Red Sox. We'll do that probably right around high noon today on Jones and Keith. You can jump in again, 617-779-7937. A lot to get to. I mentioned Joe Mazzulla and some comments he had. How much of it is on Mazzulla? And are the Celtics not together? Those are his words.
What did you say to the guys tonight? The message.
Nothing. Just stick together. You know, obviously, we're not playing our best basketball. You can't expect things to always be easy. You know, you can't have a an expectation that it's always supposed to go your way, because it's not. And, you know, we just have to find a way to enjoy the challenge, but make sure we do it together.
So Joe Mazzulla, post-game, is going on and on about how the Celtics have to stick together. We'll win games as long as we stick together. Is that just like a crutch? He said that multiple times. That's just one answer, but he said it multiple times last night after they lost to the Raptors. Well,
that's what you're thinking.
Why do you keep referencing sticking together if the team is together and if they're all pulling in the same direction and they're all, to use whatever cliche, they're all on the same side? If they're together and there's no concerns about it, why do you got to reference over and over and over again the team sticking together and we'll win as long as we stick together? Why do you got to reference that if you're not worried about the team sticking together?
No, I agree with that. He also pointed out something that jumped out to me, which was like, we can't think this is going to be easy because it's not. That kind of thing. Like, I believe they do think it's going to be easy, especially when you play something like the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah.
Ideally, it should be easy. It's a horrible team. You should go in there, no matter how many games in a row you've played or whatever else, especially when you have your whole team healthy, and beat them. But, yeah, if his talking points are you can't think it's going to be easy, maybe there's some of that. Maybe these guys have just from him being around it and watching him, he gets that sense. And then sticking together. Like, if anybody starts to kind of lose track of playing as a team, I would say specifically playing defense as a team, but then, I think offense, you can make that same point. So, yeah, maybe there is something. He feels like it's kind of slipping away.
I mean, you highlight a good, interesting comment as well. And you guys can jump in on this. 617-779-7937. We're starting Celtics here on Jones and Keefe. We're going to get to the Bruins on a Bruins Thursday. Cam Neely with some interesting comments. Patriots as well. Bill Belichick's future going to be an increasing topic. I'll reset that coming up based on some news that came out literally in the first segment. Bill still hasn't signed his contract at UNC.
From the clouds.
We'll get to the divisional round. We'll get to the lack of news on the Patriots coordinator search. What does that tell us? Is it wide open, or do we already know the answer?
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be Josh McDaniels. We'll get to all that coming up. But, Keith, when you say they think it's easy, or Mazzulla says we can't think it's easy, it kind of was to start the year, right? I mean, they started.
Oh, they were rolling.
4-0, 7-1, 16-3, 19-4. They were bombing threes. And so it kind of was easy. And you start to think.
And they weren't even healthy.
Roll the basketball. Right. We didn't even have Porzingis yet.
Yeah.
Roll the basketballs out there. It's going to be easy. I mean, that is human nature. And now they're dealing with something different. And how are they handling it?
Through 40 games last year, I just looked this up. It's funny, their 40th game also came against the Toronto Raptors. It was a win, and they improved to 31-9. So three games worse, because they fell, I think, at 28-12 yesterday. So it's not a huge dramatic swing. It is worse. Like, you're on pace for fewer wins than you were a year ago. And I certainly didn't have them for fewer wins. I think most people assumed they were going to have more wins this year.
I did.
They're over under, though. I remember it was lower than I thought. Maybe this is Vegas kind of saying, hey, sometimes these teams have a hard time repeating or whatever. I believe the over under was 58.5, and they're currently on pace for 57. So, whatever. They go on a little bit of a winning streak, they can still get it. But right now they're trending for just under their win total, which felt a little low. I thought this was like an automatic 60 win team, but they're not right now.
And we get in the Twitch chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEI. Guys are just bored. It's January. They're bored. They were used to high-stakes games last year in the playoffs, and they're bored.
I can subscribe to that for a few.
Yeah.
Like a couple here and there. Like I said, if they'd won 7 in a row and then lost to the same bad Raptors team, I would have been like, all right, whatever. Not ideal, but it's a loss. You move on. But they've alternated wins and losses now for 2 weeks.
Yeah. And when it comes to the team, okay, fine. Maybe they are just bored. Is that a good quality? Like, just stop with that. Yeah. It's a good quality that your team got bored.
Yeah.
Like I said before the year, they should go for 66 wins. They should go for a franchise record. And 66 meaning what Garnett did, Garnett and Pierce, their first year together in 08. More wins than they did last year. They should give themselves an artificial goal like that to stay locked in. And I don't know. Let's say they are bored. That's not the best quality. That is human nature. But that's not the best quality, and it proves or underscores to me that something is going on. Can they pull out of it? Maybe. Can they flip the switch? We'll see. But in the meantime, something is off, and boredom, to me, would be problematic. You got to find a way to stay locked in.
Yeah, not every team can do that, kind of, be bored through the regular season and then all of a sudden rip it in the playoffs. And I still think this is going to be the team that breaks the streak of not winning back-to-back titles in the NBA. But I'm sure the same conversations were going on the year after the title in Denver and Milwaukee.
Thank you.
Like, well, yeah, they're not really kicking ass right now. Like, Jokic and Giannis were great, but like the teams weren't great. And then you're like, well, they'll just turn on in the playoffs. Those teams did not turn
on. I bet
on
that's
the playoffs.
Exactly what I said. Yeah. I bet if you could go back and find any conversation we had about Denver, I bet I said exactly that about Denver a year ago. Yeah, yeah.
I thought they were
going to
face Denver in the finals.
Yeah. And they didn't. So let's see with this team. I also still think they're going to win. I still think they're the most talented team. Talent wins out. But you can't keep playing like this for two or three more months. They need to nip this in the bud. You need to straighten things out. Because if you keep playing 500 basketball, if you keep playing poor defensively, if you keep having bad shot selection, if guys are still out for themselves, Tatum's MVP, Pritchard's sixth man, Porzingis proving the team needs him, Horford isn't happy coming off the bench, Derek White wants an all-star push, like whatever it is, if something like that is going on and the team isn't together, to Joe Mazzulla's point, well, that's never going to work. You got to figure it out and figure it out now.
A couple of good text line comments here, which again is just the regular phone number. Joe Mazzulla will be posting pics to IG of happy players on each other's backs coming up next.
I mean,
that could be the answer.
Yeah,
some Tatum, pictures from months ago when they were happy together.
Tatum and Jaylen Brown have to send one of those out about how good of friends they are. Yeah, that's
and
true.
And then obviously, do they need a pizza party? The answer is yes. You can't go up
you're
and
putting,
down like this.
You're putting the pizza party label on them.
They need a pizza party. They need to get together. The Bruins need a pizza party more.
I can't remember. Did you say the pizza party
helps?
Did you say that before or after your scoop?
Oh, I forgot. Good question.
I think you might have said the pizza party
about
before
the Bruins.
I think you said it before your Bruins scoop.
Maybe. Yeah, they needed it then, and then it was only proven that they needed it. And then now the Celtics are trending towards in need of a pizza party. That's sort of the scale. How badly do you need a pizza party? Really badly or not? Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, maybe we need like a social media graphic for this where it's like slap a pizza party label on them. This team needs a pizza party.
2 liter soda, solo cups, whatever else you want.
Yes, like a red stamp pizza party.
Yeah, that's it. Boom, like this team in need of.
Keith means business when he slaps out the pizza party label. Maybe we need to
sounds
do that.
Sounds like a tier.
Yeah, 617. Tier, yeah. It's true, that is a tier.
We can tier them up next week.
Tier up the pizza party.
Who needs a pizza party the most?
Let's go to Ray in Cumberland on the Celtics. Go ahead, Ray.
Hey, what's up, guys? Big fan of the show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to run this up by you guys and see what you guys think of it. The plus minus for the season, we got Tatum at plus 289. Pritch at plus 237, Brown at plus 229, and then Porzingis is plus 3. I was just curious your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I don't think they've been good since Porzingis has come back. So how much of that is figuring out how to re-identify everyone's role? How much of that is about Porzingis individually? I don't know. I've started to like his shot selection a little more. You know, when he first came back, I'm like, does every three he has to take,
let it fly from deep,
be from 5 feet,
like Caitlin Clark,
at the top of the key, 5 feet beyond the arc, every shot, he has to do that? I don't know. I mean, does anything jump out about his plus? Do you think it's individually his play or just they're figuring out how to play with him?
Yeah, it's weird. It's almost like it's their first season with him when it's not. So I don't get that. They haven't added anybody new to the mix. If anything, they'd be better this year, and they'd be more comfortable this year. Because I thought Porzingis fit in really well last year, better than I even would have imagined. Remember he had that good two-man game with Jaylen Brown early on, then they started calling themselves, Cookies and Cream or whatever?
Yes.
It's great.
Yes.
Like, those guys were good together, and obviously he is a difference maker defensively too, something they don't have when he's not in there. But it feels just at times more disjointed when they have everybody. And we're at the halfway point, essentially, of the season. So they could still figure this out. It's just it's surprising to me that they even have to figure it out. I thought it was kind of set. The question was complacency or injuries. And I don't know if you can even say this is complacency because they've had multiple kind of hiccups. They've had multiple times where Mazzulla's sort of had to call them out a little bit. Again, he doesn't call anybody out specifically like Bruce Cassidy might do. Like, Jake DeBrusque's not playing well.
Right.
Or like, this player X needs to get on the puck. Like, he's not doing that, but he is talking about the team's overall effort. He's talking about the team taking it for granted, talking about the team needing to stick together. So you'd think their eyes would be open on this and you wouldn't have a performance like last night, but you did.
So again, is it nothing to see here, much ado about nothing? We're making a mountain out of a molehill when it comes to the Celtics, or do you think there's an issue going on? And that's on the court, that's off the court, whatever. Are you willing to acknowledge they're not playing well and there's something they got to sort out? 617-779-7937. It sounds like Joe Mazzulla, the team needs to stick together, quote-unquote, is willing to go there. We did get a text 617-779-7937. Jones, I don't know what we could wager, but I think you're so wrong about Bill. No one's going to call Bill. Bill desperately wants to come back to the NFL and be in the club.
Do you think he coaches in the NFL or at North Carolina next year?
North Carolina.
Yeah.
He says, I will bet whatever you want.
Ooh.
That Bill will be a head coach in the NFL, maybe not this season, but no doubt by 2026.
We have to wait 75 by then?
We have to wait 2 years to cash in on that bet, and you should bet a pizza party.
Good point.
Yeah.
Here's what I'll say. It's adam.jones@odyssey.com. What's yours again, Keith?
Keith@weei.com.
Wow, that's such a good email. So much better. adam.jones@odyssey. Is there a shorthanded one where do I have an EEI one that will redirect to Odyssey?
I can't imagine Jones at EEI hasn't already been taken, so you're probably...
Email me.
SOL.
Email me. We'll make some bets. A good listener, Fred, out there, big Patriots fan. We've made some bets before.
Yep.
He knows I'm good for paying him off.
All right.
And I'm definitely good to come calling if I win.
Bunch?
No, if I win my bets, I'm definitely good to come calling.
All right.
Email me. We'll put down a wager on that. Okay. I guess it won't come true for 2 more years. We got to wait it out to a pizza party for 2 more years.
That's a long play.
The reason we're referencing it, though, is, again, Jonathan Jones, not the Patriots corner.
No.
The CBS reporter. Bill Belichick hasn't signed his contract at North Carolina.
It's bizarre. Is he not read the whole thing? I mean, some of these contracts are long.
No, I'm telling you, it's sad. He hasn't signed it, not because they're like ironing out details. He hasn't signed it because he hopes the NFL comes calling because he doesn't want to be there. He never wanted to go there in the first place.
How does that
He just stamped
out?
His feet and went down to UNC.
Is North Carolina like, what the hell?
Yes, probably.
They got to be like, dude, get this out here.
UNC confirmed. That's what Jonathan Jones said in his report. UNC confirmed that he hasn't signed his deal. That's crazy.
And Lombardi got all pissy when they were like, you haven't really hired anybody down there yet. He's like, we're taking our time. Like, leave us alone. It's like, well, are you putting together a staff or not?
Right.
Like, well, Bill's waiting to make sure that all the jobs are closed in the NFL.
And then again, notice 2 days later after Lombardi said, no, we're taking our time, they did hire a couple of people.
They actually did.
After Florio called them out. Some special teams guy and an O-line coach, I think.
Great.
Guys I was unfamiliar with.
Excellent. They're gonna be a monster next
so
year.
So what do you think of that? It's again, to me, it's pretty simple. Just look at Bill's buyout. Look at how he hasn't signed his contract. He desperately wants to ditch UNC. He never wanted to be there in the first place.
Yes.
Despite saying, I didn't come here to leave, he would leave in a heartbeat. He left the Jets, different circumstances, but he'd do it in a heartbeat.
The problem is
they don't want him.
I would love to be a part of that whole conversation where they agree to terms, they talk about who they're bringing in, they do all this other stuff, and then
sign it, Bill.
They're like, here we go, Bill. We printed it out. Very excited. Here, take this Carolina blue pen. Just put your name right here. He's like, how about this? How about we circle back after the Super Bowl? I'm like, what? That's 2 months from now, Bill. He's like, I know. We never know what's going to happen. I just, you know, really feel better about starting it then. They're like, are you recruiting or not?
I got to go recruit.
I'm out
recruiting 3 stars.
Yeah, right. Following him on Twitter.
I don't have time to sign my contract because I'm out recruiting so hard.
So next question for the kids that are transferring to North Carolina. Bill, are you going to be here? Bill, if you signed your, I'll sign my letter of intent to transfer if you sign your contract with North Carolina. Bizarre.
I'll show you mine if you show me yours, kind of thing. Contracts.
Contract-wise.
Yeah.
Contract-wise.
Contractually is what we're talking
about. That's
right. 617-779-7937. Interesting story out of college football. Obviously relates to the Patriots. We'll get to your Celtics thoughts coming up. I do want to get to Cam Neely at the Black and Gold Gala. I was unaware. You didn't get your invite to that?
I think it got lost in the mail, which would explain the mailbox getting smashed, I guess.
That's true. I was unaware that was even going on. We didn't get our invites to the Black and Gold Gala.
I'm shocked.
Cam Neely talked about the Bruins and their approach at the trade deadline. They could be buyers.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they're going to blow the whole thing up. Let's get to that next.
Well, we'd certainly like to improve. I mean, but as I said, you know, we'll see what happens with what teams decide to do heading into the Four Nations, and then, you know, after Four Nations is done, you know, it's a race to the deadline. So, you know, we'll see where we're at. You know, I think right now we've got to look at two paths. You know, one that we're buying and one that we may be, you know, just retooling a little bit. We still feel like we've got a playoff team here, and we certainly don't want to jeopardize, you know, getting out of the playoffs because we've made some moves that may be good for the future but not good for the present.
Now we got this team, which I know is all over your radar, Keith. Cam Neely coming out and saying at the Black and Gold Gala, our invites were lost in the mail.
That's right.
Cam Neely said the team has to prepare for two paths at the trade deadline, a scenario where they buy and a scenario where they retool.
classic red pill, blue pill situation here for the Bruins. I mean, they are running that line. Like, I'm surprised how kind of honest he was with that, because there's still a lot of time between the trade deadline and now, so he could have kind of hedged it more.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he didn't tell you which path they were taking, but clearly that conversation has to be had. So a big win yesterday or two nights ago against Tampa. They needed that one. But when you're looking around, and they've played more games than all these other teams, we were looking at point percentages. And based on point percentages, they'd be out of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, out of the playoffs, which is pretty surprising. And if that's the case, so when the deadline rolls around, like the week of the deadline, if they are barely a wild card team, do they feel the need to really add to it and be like, let's go back to trading our first and second round picks and like do all that stuff? Or do you go the other way and you say, all right, maybe we move on from a few of these guys?
Well, it'd be interesting if they moved on from one prominent guy who's an impending free agent.
I'm guessing he has a no trade clause like everybody else.
Yeah, I'm guessing he does.
And maybe he could say no like Linus.
He could, yeah. Or he could say, get me away from this, my best friend.
I don't know. Tune in to find out.
You bring up a good point. It's not just Neely saying, yeah, we can buy, we can sell at the trade deadline, which I'm sure a bunch of people dismiss. The Bruins hardly ever sell. They hardly ever sell, okay? Not in a big way, not in a meaningful way, a way where they're retooling.
Yeah.
And to use, you know, my phrasing on it, blow it up.
Yeah.
They don't do that. They try to make the postseason. They try to win a round or two. It's demanded from ownership to do that. And so very rarely do they retool. And so I think that's interesting. And it's even more interesting the timing. They just won two in a row.
Yeah.
They just beat Florida and Tampa, two divisional opponents, two teams they've struggled with. Swayman looks like he's figuring things out. They scored six goals the other night. Two are empty netters, but whatever. Mm-hmm. And so even after those two wins at your black and gold gala, which I don't think is like, you know, facing the toughest questions there, facing the firing squad.
It's, no, unlikely.
It's pretty soft landing, I would imagine, at your own gala. And he's like, yeah, we might retool. So, like, picture the setting on that. Picture the backdrop of how they played the last two games. And he's still like, we'll see. That's interesting. And does it speak to, again, bigger issues going on with the team? We were talking about that with the Celtics. Same with the Bruins.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is a team that hasn't missed the playoffs since 2016.
Well, Charlie Jacobs let you know about that. Not to put you on the spot, Nick, but do you have Charlie Jacobs talking about all the playoff appearances that they've made? This is also at the gala. Let's hear this.
They do make the playoffs a lot.
If you look at Don Sweeney's stewardship and Cam Neely's stewardship over, I don't know, let's call it since 2015, since Don took over. I mean, we've made the playoffs 8 of the 10 years. There's only one other team, and by the way, listen, I'm not going to measure success in making the Stanley Cup playoffs, okay? Let's be very clear about that. Our goal is to win the Stanley Cup, but you can't win the Stanley Cup if you don't make it to the playoffs.
Okay,
and, good point.
Our team has done that for the past 8 years, and I hope we do it again this year for our ninth. But it's been some trying moments, for sure. I mean, to watch this team play and know what it's capable of and see it perform, and then come out the next night and not be able to do it. It's a head-scratcher, for sure.
Head-scratcher.
Weird.
Scratching their heads.
Trying moments?
Because they have more talent than you would think, and they're not living up to it. And yes, they've had some trying moments.
What does that all mean?
I don't know. If only someone could break some news, scoops on the team.
If somebody had that, I don't know what to tell you.
I do like that. They made the playoffs 8 straight years.
Guys,
8 out of 10.
Playoffs. We've been in first place more days than anybody else.
Only one other team has done it.
But then I know he immediately knows what the response would be to that. He's like, I'm not saying that's the be-all, end-all, make the playoffs, even though our family actually thinks it's just make the playoffs.
Like, just get in there. 8 straight years.
Get a couple of home playoff games.
Money.
We'd like to go to the second round, but whatever. Yeah, that's okay.
Window into ownership's real mindset there. But okay, give me a little more. Cam Neely kind of echoed some of the trying moments. We're kind of scratching our head over why we haven't lived up to it. Neely kind of went in on that too.
All right.
This year has been a little frustrating because we honestly felt coming out of the off season that, you know, we had a better team than what we've showed on the ice, and maybe that's a product of us overvaluing, you know, what we have, or just the start that we had was not expected, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, we take a look at our lineup and we look at what the production could be from our group, and we know a lot of players had hit their high side last year, and so we weren't really looking at them to repeat that or to go above that, but we felt like we would be close to where some of these players were last year, and some are starting to get back to where they were. Others still need to pick it up a little bit.
Man,
huh?
So who's he talking about?
I mean, my guy Trent Frederick is one guy that jumps out.
One guy that's certainly
starting to pick it up. Maybe hit his high mark last year.
Yeah.
So maybe you didn't expect much more than that. And I guess he's saying maybe you didn't even expect that exactly. But to cut that production basically in half, I don't think you could anticipate that.
Is Charlie Coyle still on pace for 4 assists this year?
I think so.
Coyle would definitely
something be insane. Coyle and Frederick have been disappointing. I think the new guys have been disappointing. Elias Lindholm, I mean, Zadaroff, whatever you expected out of him. McAvoy's been disappointing when you're grading on what the expectation was for a player like that.
Yeah.
So almost across the board. Swayman's starting to figure it out now. So he's back to back good games.
Swayman's the first name I thought of when he said it.
Yeah.
I mean, Pastrnak.
Yeah.
Pastrnak, I mean, I've been told is a problem in the room.
Hmm.
And so I would imagine that would be a guy as well who you're not getting the production you would expect out of him. And so Neely and Jacobs weren't really hiding from anything there.
Yeah.
At their gala, after the team's won 2 in a row, it's not like they talked to him after the 6-game losing streak, and these guys are like, yeah, it's a head scratch. They won 2 in a row, and they're not putting any kind of positive spin on it. They're like, yep, haven't lived up to it. Yep, we might be selling. Like, that's kind of crazy.
Because, like, most Bruins fans seem to be pissed at Don Sweeney and for the roster. And I view it differently. And I think Jacobs and Neely, and maybe you could say, well, it's because Neely and Sweeney are all tied together and everything else. But I don't know how you can't look at it and say it's more on the players. Whereas the Patriots, you're like, these players stink. Like the Patriots have like 2 good players. The Bruins actually have a bunch of good players. They got good players at every level, right? They have a couple of all-star Olympics, you know, forwards, couple of good, really good defensemen, and what should be a really good goalie. Like that, I'm not saying it's a cup-winning team, but that's a roll-out-of-bed playoff team.
Should be.
The fact that they're teetering right now and Cam Neely is talking about maybe having to go the avenue of retooling, which is a fancy word for rebuilding.
Blowing it up.
All those things. Yeah. Like, that's not a good sign.
No. So you can jump in on this, 617-779-7937. We'll get to divisional weekend, how it applies to the Patriots. We'll get into the lack of Patriots news updates on the coordinator search. What does that tell us? I should give you this news as well. Maybe you've seen it in the Twitch chat, Keith. I saw this a few minutes ago.
Oh, no.
Bob Uecker has passed away.
That's terrible.
That is a Brewers icon, a baseball Hall of Famer.
Hilarious.
Just a bit outside.
Like, Bob Uecker, hilarious. One of the great announcers of all time. He's had Major League he's famous for, but he's popped up in a bunch of other things. Didn't he do a run in early WWF, too, Bill? I think he's like a WWF Hall of Famer.
I think he was like a ring announcer for a couple of manias.
Yeah, didn't he have the thing like with the, I mean.
There's like the classic gif of him being strangled by Andre the Giant.
Correct. Like, what a personality. That guy was a legend.
Not just the ultimate jock.
No, he was not. He was incredible. That's sad.
Age 90. And so, yeah.
It's a good run.
That's a good run. Yeah. A good life there. But that is sad news.
He's an all-timer.
All-timer. I was watching Major League the other day. Kathleen hadn't really seen it.
Really?
All 4.
Yeah.
All 8. Vaughn has walked the bases loaded on 12 straight pitches. Boy, how can these guys lay off pitches that close?
That is my favorite baseball movie of all time.
The best.
And if he wasn't in it, I think you'd take away like 25-30% of how good that film is. Like, he helps make it.
Well, certainly the quotability, right?
The quotes are mostly from him.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it gives you that real like Major League announcer vibe to it. But then he's just so funny. And that's sad.
Okay, so that is unfortunate news. Came from the Milwaukee Brewers. Bob Uecker passed away, age 90. We'll get your phone call, 617-779-7937. We'll get to the Patriots as well. How come there's no news on the coordinator search? Does it tell us it's a wide-open search, they're looking for the best candidate, or does it tell us something very, very different? We'll get to it next.
One run on, let's see, one hit. That's all we got, one hit.